And now for reading and writing and radio.
Today is March 21st. March 21st is the first day of spring, and it is also my mother's birthday. She would gladly tell you how many birthdays she has had because they are always so much fun, but I am going to let you guess. Each year I remember the year Mama had the best birthday party anyone ever had, and I proved that I could keep a secret.
The author of Motor Mouth Keeps a Secret is Joan Meyer, but it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
I think most of you listeners know that I teach writing classes at Sangamon State and that I've enjoyed having some of your teachers in these classes. The program last semester, My Mom the Mechanic, was based on a story written in one of those classes by Therese Clark, who teaches at Taylorville. And today's program is based on a story by Joan Meyer, also of Taylorville, who has subbed at a lot of your schools, everything from boys' PE and agriculture to math, music, and study hall. Joan also works very hard on this program, reading almost everything that every one of you sends in and keeping me in order. I couldn't possibly survive without her. Her story is called Motor Mouth Keeps a Secret, and we started it with Elspeth reading in the opener. In my family, we call people who can't keep secrets blabbermouths. You probably have your own word. But let's go on. My daughter Jillian's here today, too. Jill, will you read us some more of Joan's story?
It all began in January, 4 years ago, on a Thursday night. How do I know it was a Thursday night? Because my mother has not been home on a Thursday night for the last 18 years. She bowls, and she never misses her Thursday night bowling. I know this is true because I was born on a Thursday night. My baby book says so. What the book doesn't say is that my mom bowled a 500 series and then went to the hospital to have me. She was home by the next Thursday, and my daddy took care of me from then on while she bowled. But this particular Thursday night in January, 4 years ago, I swear I was not really eavesdropping. I was coming downstairs to get a drink. I heard Daddy on the telephone, and I just walked very slowly. "Mom Hersey, this is Bill. No, no, don't get excited. Nothing has happened to Joan." My daddy never calls Grandma Hersey, and he wishes Mom wouldn't do it so often. "We're all fine. And you?" "Good. I called to tell you that I'm planning a surprise 40th birthday party for Joan in March, and I want you to be her surprise present. No, I haven't figured out any details yet. I wanted to be sure you would come first. But only you and I will know about this. Otherwise, something will go wrong. Someone will slip and say something, and then Joan will find out. I know you promised Billy you would come for his high school graduation in June. But you and Joan haven't seen each other for over 2 years, and this would be a great surprise to her. Okay, you think about it and let me know. Don't call here, though. Call my office or write me there, as I really do want this to be a complete surprise. Goodbye, Mom Hersey." And Dad hung up. "Is she coming?" I asked breathlessly. When I saw his face, I knew I had made a big mistake. I should have crept up back upstairs and kept it secret that I knew his secret. Too late. I didn't. But after all, I was only in third grade. Here, Elf.
You go on with it, Elf, all right?
You listened? What a horrible, nasty, sneaky thing to do. I didn't believe that a daughter of mine would hide behind corners and eavesdrop on other people's conversations. Now my whole surprise is spoiled. I hope that you are really happy. I began to get a choked feeling in my throat, and my stomach was turning flip-flops as he raised his hand from his side. You will not breathe one word of this to anyone, and I mean anyone at all, not even the dog. Right now, this very minute, you will erase what you have heard from your mind forever. He passed his hand across my eyes, and the tears rolled down my cheeks. It always upsets Daddy when I cry, but what else could I do when he was standing there yelling at me with his giant hand raised over my head? I'm sorry, Allison. I didn't want anyone to know about this. I wanted it to be a complete surprise to your mother and everyone else. I swear I won't tell anyone, Daddy. Honest, I promise. That's a very large order for you, Punkin. Daddy and Steve didn't... Billy and Steve didn't nickname you Motormouth for nothing. They haven't done anything secret since you could talk. You cannot breathe a word of this to a soul, not even Billy and Steve. Me? Tell my brothers? You don't have to worry about that. I never tell them anything. It will be fun having such a neat secret, just you and I.
Well, the story goes on, and Allison realizes how hard it is to keep a secret. Jill, would you read there on page 4?
In the books that I read, they always bite their tongues to keep from telling. I tried it the next morning at breakfast when I saw Mom. I bit hard enough to make it really hurt. I told myself I'd bite it right off before I would tell anybody. I had my mouth open, experimenting with biting my tongue, just as Mom happened to look up from the paper. She asked me what in heaven's name I was doing. "Biting my tongue," I replied. "Well, that's a stupid thing to do. Bite your breakfast or you'll be late for school."
Well, Grandma first decides not to come, then Allison writes her a letter, and Grandma finally agrees to come. And Allison then has over a month to keep the secret, and it isn't easy. Elspeth, would you pick up the story on page 6?
The closer it got to March 15th, the harder it was for me to act normal. I had to spend more and more time in my room. When I was with Mom alone, I had to be doubly careful what I said. I couldn't even talk to Billy and Steve. They still didn't know what was going to happen very soon. Only me. I'd show them I wasn't a motor mouth. They'd see how good I was at keeping a secret.
Thursday, March 15th, finally arrived. Daddy told Mom at breakfast that he had to go out of town that day on business and would not be home for dinner. Mom really loves it when Daddy doesn't come home. Then she doesn't have to cook. I think if someone said she had to give up one room in our house, she would give them the kitchen. I knew where Daddy was going, to St. Louis to get Grandma, and I was the only one who did. But where was Grandma going to stay on Thursday night and Friday until the party?
So she asks her father on the way to school, and he says he's told the secret to the Larsons and that Grandma will stay there until the surprise party at the country club that night. Lots of people now know that there was going to be a surprise party, but only Allison and the Larsons and Daddy knew that Grandma was going to be the surprise present. Well, Allison naturally can't wait to see her Grandma. Jill, read on page 7.
Friday morning I left for school early. I told Mom and Daddy I had promised to help the teacher with the bulletin board. I walked to Grandma's hideout. It was right near my school. I had to see her. I just could not wait 12 more hours. I rang the bell. Everyone was surprised to see me. Grandma hugged and kissed me like most grandmas do, and told me how proud she was that I had kept the secret so long. "You only have a few more hours and your job will be over," she told me. Just then the doorbell rang. It was Daddy. He was surprised to see me, too. He came to tell Grandma she had to stay in her hideout all day. Mom was going to cut her classes so she could watch the state high school basketball tournament on TV in the afternoon. He didn't want Grandma and Mom to run into each other in our small town. Daddy was upset and worried again. He had asked Mom if she wanted to go out and eat at the country club that night, and she had said no. Normally, my mother does not refuse a chance to eat out, but my mother is not normal when it comes to sports. She is boisterous. She is committed. She is a faithful follower of all the local school teams and the St. Louis baseball and football Cardinal teams. She is a fan. She never misses a sports event. She checks the sports calendar in the TV guide each week and then tells us when we will have our meals, halftime of a football game, after a baseball doubleheader, or between basketball games. Nothing keeps her from her self-appointed seat in front of the TV or in the stands if it happens to be a Cardinal football game. Mom and Daddy are season ticket holders for the football Cardinals and never miss a game. We have postponed Thanksgiving twice because the Cardinals were playing football that day.
So then Allison gives an example of how determined a sports fan her mother is so that we'll understand the rest of the story. She tells of the time her parents went to St. Louis for a game with a lot of other couples and stayed in motel rooms. And when her mom knelt to unplug the coffee pot, the boiling water fell on the back of her head, her arms, and her shoulders. Everyone wanted to rush her to the emergency room, but she refused because she thought that they might keep her there and she would miss the game. So she went to the game, well lubricated with unguentine on the outside and with beer on the inside, and went to the emergency room after the game. Allison says on page 9,
I can tell you how the conversation between the doctor and my mother went because I've heard my daddy tell it so many times.
When did you burn yourself, Joan?
About 10:30 this morning.
Where have you been since then? It's 8 o'clock at night.
We were in St. Louis at the football game.
You mean you sat through a football game with those burns? I don't know how you could stand the pain.
The more beer I drank, the better that I felt. And besides, we won. We're in first place.
So that explains how sports mad Allison's mother is. Jill, will you pick up the story at page 10?
When I got home from school that afternoon, I knew there was trouble ahead. I could smell it. Spaghetti sauce cooking on the stove. Mom was cooking dinner. That meant she wasn't going out. She never cooks when she's going out, even if we kids are staying home. We have to fix ourselves something. Now what was going to happen? I didn't dare stay in the house or say one single word. Daddy finally came home. How come you're cooking dinner? He asked. I thought we were going out tonight. I told you this morning I didn't want to go. I'm watching the basketball tournament on TV tonight, she proclaimed loudly. But I made reservations for 7. You'd better cancel them because I'm not going. You should have seen the look on Daddy's face as he walked out of the kitchen. Allison, come set the table. Mom tells me this every night. In a few minutes, Billy, pour the milk. Steve, call your father to dinner. I peeked into the living room. Daddy was on the couch with his arm over his eyes, pretending to be asleep. But I knew he was wondering how he was going to get Mom to her own surprise party without telling her about it. He didn't get up. Billy, Steve, and Mom gobbled down their spaghetti, and I gobbled a little myself. The kitchen was speedily cleaned up. The TV set was turned on just as the first basketball game began. It was 7 p.m. Daddy was still on the couch. I went to my room. I wanted to cry. All that work trying to keep a secret, and now she wouldn't even go out to the party.
I couldn't stand it up in my room all by myself, so I went back downstairs. Daddy was still on the couch with his arm over his eyes. I sat down and looked at the game with Mom, Billy, and Steve. I wasn't really watching, though. I was thinking about all those people and Grandma out there at the club waiting and wondering. The hands on the clock kept moving, and now it was 7:30 p.m. Suddenly Daddy sat up as if something had awakened him. When do we eat? I'm starving, he exclaimed. Mom glared at him. We ate an hour ago. Well, I'm hungry. Please get me something to eat. I'll heat you up some spaghetti, but you'll have to wait until halftime. I'm watching the game. Reheated spaghetti? I don't like spaghetti at all. Why don't we go to the club at the half and I'll get a sandwich? You can sit and watch your game on TV while I eat. I held my breath. Finally, she said, Well, okay, but not before the first half is over. Phew, that was too close for comfort. The first half ended and Mom ran upstairs to change her clothes. Daddy and I heaved a sigh of relief together and smiled. Then he spoke quietly and very quickly to my brothers. Billy, as soon as your mother and I leave, you take her car and bring Steve and Allison out to the country club. We're having a big surprise party for your mother's 40th birthday, and I want you all to come. But you must be careful. Don't let her see you following us. Go in the back door of the club so she doesn't see you, but you will be able to see all the action. Wow, that's great, yelled Steve. Daddy slapped his hand over Steve's big mouth before he could yell any more. Mom might hear him. Okay, Dad, we'll be careful, said Billy in a whisper. But where are Mom's car keys? Quick, see if they're in her purse, ordered Daddy. They were there, and Billy pocketed them just as Mom walked into the kitchen, grabbed her purse, and said, Let's go. I'm ready.
I couldn't help grinning. He hadn't told Billy and Steve the really big surprise. I still was the only one who knew. Mom and Daddy backed the car out of the driveway. As soon as they were around the corner, we ran right out and got into Mom's car. Billy drove carefully, and we stayed far enough behind so Mom couldn't see us. When we got to the club, Billy swung around and back so we could sneak in the rear door. We were just in time. Mom was coming through the front door, and dozens of people began yelling, "Happy 40th birthday, Joan!" Her mouth fell open. She was completely surprised. Finally, she recovered enough to state, "I'm still 39 and will be for 5 more days. I have no intention of rushing this birthday." "Come in," they hollered. "Open your presents over there." We looked, and there in the corner of the room was a giant carton that a refrigerator had been in. The carton had a big red bow tied around it. Someone had cut the outside of the carton so Mom could open a door and look inside. Billy whispered, "I wonder what's in there." Steve replied, "It can't be a refrigerator. That's one appliance in our house that doesn't break down. Besides, Daddy wouldn't dare give Mom something for the kitchen as a birthday present." "I know what's in there," I stated very smugly. "I've known since January."
"You've known something since January, Motor Mouth, and kept it a secret?" said Billy.
"It can't be much then," added Steve with a sneer. "Tell us what it is right now," commanded Billy. "Nope, you can't make me. You can be surprised, too."
Mom approached the box warily. She must have been thinking of all the practical jokes she had played on people on their birthdays. One time she had a beautifully wrapped florist's box full of dead flowers delivered to the junior high on her teacher friend's 40th birthday. Another time she invited all Daddy's friends for lunch on his birthday. When she brought in the beautiful homemade chocolate cake, Daddy was really impressed. As everyone sang happy birthday, he inserted the knife into the cake to cut it. The knife stuck. He let go. It quivered there like a dart when it hits the target. The cake was chocolate-frosted styrofoam. That's why she stood so cautiously behind the cut-out door to the carton. She inserted her fingernail into the opening and pulled. The door opened. She looked down at the ground as if she expected something to crawl out of the box. Nothing happened. She peeked around the corner of the door and peered into the box, her eyes still fixed at floor level. "Shoe?" asked Mom, very puzzled, her head raised as her eyes moved upwards to examine the inside of the box more closely. "Boy, it's dark in here. There's someone sitting on a chair. Oh, my God, I don't believe it. It's my mother." Grandma came out the little door. She and Mom were in each other's arms, crying and laughing and talking all at once. Billy and Steve stood there in shock and disbelief. I ran all the way across the room to Daddy and grabbed both his hands. We began laughing and crying, too. "Good going, Pumpkin," said Daddy as he hugged me tightly. "We pulled it off, just you and me." "With Grandma's help," I added. Yes, we had pulled it off. Even with all the obstacles, we had done it. Mom said it was the best birthday party and the best birthday present she ever got. And from then on, everyone knew that Motor Mouth can keep a secret.
Thanks, kids, for a neat reading of a neat story. And you know what? Joan didn't see the end of the game, did she? So our topic today is secrets. Did you ever have a hard time keeping a secret and, like Motor Mouth, keep it? Did you ever confide a secret to a friend who told? Did you ever feel terrible when you were left out of a secret that everybody else seemed to know? Did you ever discover a secret that made you very uncomfortable? Did you ever blab somebody else's secret? Is it always good to keep a secret? Maybe there are some secrets that ought to be told. Jill, when we were talking about secrets last night, you made one remark that I thought was interesting.
It's easier to keep a secret if you don't even tell people that you have a secret you're trying to keep.
If you go around saying mysteriously, "I have a secret,"
then everybody's going to bug you to tell them.
Oh,
right. Come on. I'm your best friend, aren't I? You can tell me. And a lot of times you break down and tell them.
Well, how hard it is to keep a secret is nothing new. King Midas, the same one of the Golden Touch, judged a music contest poorly, and the Greek god Apollo said that ears as stupid as yours belong to a donkey, and so donkey's ears you shall have from now on. And so Midas wore a tall hat, but his barber knew about these donkey's ears. And so in the Dolera's Greek Book of Greek Myths, it tells how the barber couldn't keep this important secret, and so he ran out into a lonesome field, and he dug a hole in the ground, and he whispered into it, "King Midas has donkey's ears." He quickly covered up the hole and thought the secret was safe, but the nearby reeds had heard, and as they swayed in the wind, they whispered, "Midas has donkey ears, Midas has donkey ears," and soon the secret spread all over the world. Well, we've talked and read till now about little secrets, Grandma's coming and donkey's ears, but before the ending, I'd like to say something about the big secrets. Not too long ago, maybe 175 years ago, when science was going strong and was going to solve all the world's problems, for a while, a lot of people believed that all the big secrets about life and living would soon be found out, that it was only a matter of time and study. We'd know what we were and why and what God was and how everything began and how it would all end and if it ended, and that there wouldn't be any secrets in the universe that we didn't know. Continents float around like whipped cream on a pudding and can be fit like a jigsaw puzzle, Africa to South America, and we can knock a gene for knock knees out of our chromosomes and replace it with nice straight knees. You know, science can do everything and we'll have all the answers. People will know all the secrets and there will be nothing left unknown. But now, people, especially scientists, aren't so sure. Every secret we discover seems to show us 10 more secrets that we don't know. And it's extremely doubtful, and I can't really believe it at all, that we'll ever know the answer to the biggest secret, and that is why, or life. Not even knowing about DNA and all. Why are we here? How did all this get here? And is it this, and it's this marvelous mystery, this supreme secret, that can only be answered, or not even answered, but hinted at in poetry and fantasy and religion, that makes living so exciting and meaningful, that life is essentially a secret. I wouldn't want to know all the answers to all the secrets. Robert Frost has a two-line poem that sums it all up. "We dance round in a ring and suppose, but the secret sits in the middle and knows." And by that, he means the secret of everything, of life. And the dance in the ring is the dance of life around the secret that knows. I wrote about this great secret in one of my books, The Paleface Redskins, and we'll finish by reading a little bit about Marcy, realizing that there are these great secrets. I'll skip the part where, disguised as a Boy Scout, she goes into camp on a star night and sees Saturn through the telescope. It's a tremendous experience for her, and she realizes what great secrets there are in the universe. And then, in the next chapter, she watches with absorbed fascination as a ground wasp kills a caterpillar and buries it in the ground for food for the baby wasp. Marcy grabbed a twig and then hesitated. No, she wouldn't dig it up. The wasp had worked hard, and now the job was finished and perfect. Marcy would leave the worm and egg hidden there, a secret. A secret! Saturn spun to the surface of her mind from that shallow depth where for several days now it had been filling her with little spurts of gladness. She glanced at the blue sky. Somewhere up there, she knew, was the splendor spinning forever in the night. And right here in the ground, just as invisible, was another splendor. Saturn's bright disk revolved over the wasp's smooth, hammered spot. Marcy pondered. The planet and the wasp hole were the same magic feelings, really, but no, more than that. Their very togetherness was new and awesome. One circled all the foreverness of space, the other you could hold in your hand. Yet you had to feel just as much to hold the tininess as you did the bigness. You didn't understand them, all of them, the big and the little, the miracles and the secrets, but they were all there inside of you, and you knew. All there inside of you, Saturn and the wasp hole. Marcy's stomach churned with a strange excitement. She was just a speck beside Saturn, yet over the wasp she towered like a giant. She was huge and little in herself. She couldn't understand herself wholly either, but it was a self that could contain both the hugeness of Saturn and the smallness of the wasp hole. And to look at her, who would suspect that? A secret in space and a secret in the ground, and inside of her, the most secret of all.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.